Amen. Never forget, there is a refreshing if you'll come to the Lord. Run to the Lord. There is a refreshing. Praise God. If you'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 26. In our study, Faith of the Fathers, the Patriarchs, I had told you last week that we were going to skip Isaac's life. And that wasn't very kind to him, but you know, we were going to skip his life and get right into Jacob's life. And we did. And I fully intended to do that. Of the four patriarchs, there's really not a lot remarkable that happened in the life of Isaac. He was just a steady, blessed, good fella. However, in the story of Jacob, the next episode is so important to even young people, with our young people gone at youth camp. I want to hold that in reserve until they're back. And so tonight we're going to do something I said we wasn't going to do. We're going to look at Isaac. Is that all right? Look at Isaac. You know, Isaac, I said his life wasn't remarkable, but he can be noted for one particular thing. He dug wells. He's a well digger. We had the heel grabber last week, and this week we got the well digger. And there's two types of wells that he dug. First of all, he redug the wells of his father, and then he dug some new ones. I want to tell you, there's the message tonight in the nutshell. We too need to redig some wells of our fathers, and we need to dig some new ones for ourselves. Amen? And so tonight I'd like to entitle this, Redigging the Wells. Redigging the Wells. A close friend I had at Bible school, he loves to tell this on me. At the time we didn't room together, I had another roommate. And being my close friend, he knew that there was a certain time of day to get away from all the hassle of the boys' dorm. And because I had a roommate, I would get in our closet, shut the door, and that was my time of prayer. And so being a close friend, he knew that. So that went on for several weeks, but he began to notice I wasn't doing that anymore. And so he came and he said, Cliff, I've noticed you haven't been getting in your closet and praying in the afternoons anymore. What happened? And I just answered honestly and truthfully. I said, our closet got too full of junk for me to get in it. How many knows that's literal, but how many knows that often happens spiritually? Our closet gets so full of junk, our prayer closet, we no longer can get in it. But what I'm going to preach tonight, I believe there are some wells of experience and encounter with God that we just need to dig them out and get back into that well, that experience, that encounter with God. Amen. How many has a hunger in your heart to just dig some things out where you used to find refreshing and be refreshed there again? Amen. So let's look at the text. I'll just read two verses and tell the story as our custom is on Wednesday night. Verse 18 of Genesis 26, and Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called, this is important too, he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. He didn't even change their names. He stuck with the same name Abraham had given them. And then verse 19, Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing or artesian water. Pays to dig. So here's the story. A great famine hits the land that God had given to Abraham and his descendants. It's much like the famine that hit the land when Abraham went to Egypt. And so Isaac, no doubt from his dad's testimony, says there's a famine in the land. I'll go to Egypt. I'll get out of here. But God spoke to Isaac and said, don't go to Egypt. Isaac had already traveled south and west. He's further down south of the land that God had given them. But God appeared and said, don't go any further. Do not go to Egypt. You stay right here in the land that I've given you, right here in the part of the land where the Philistines live, and I will fulfill the promise I made to Abraham, I will fulfill it to you. But again, Isaac, you are not to go to Egypt. Now, how many remembers what Egypt's always a type of in Scripture? It's a type of the world. It's a type of man's way. And God was clear, do not do that. Well, there in the land of Philistines, we will not go into the story, but Isaac, following the example of his father, lied about his wife. He called her his sister. That's a story in itself. But that caused unrest and tension between Isaac and his people and the Philistines there in the land. But here's a notable thing. Now remember, a famine has hit. God says stay there. So what did Isaac do? We're in the middle of the famine. What did he do? He sowed. He sowed a crop. Now that's important two ways. First of all, up to this point, his family did not plant crops. They took care of animals and they traded, but no crops. So Isaac broke with the tradition and he sowed a crop. The second notable thing is it's during the middle of a famine and he sows a crop. But God said, if you'll stay here, I will bless you. So though a famine had hit the land, Isaac sows a crop, and the Bible says he reaped 100-fold. I mean, unbelievable harvest. And so Isaac now, he's had animals, he's had trade, and now with the crop, he becomes even increasingly more rich and more powerful. Now that's a good thing for Isaac, it seems like, but it causes a problem. He's amongst the Philistines, and they become very jealous and fearful of Isaac and ask him to get out of their town. Well, he does. He doesn't go too far, but he moves out into the countryside of Gerar, and there he begins to settle down. But I want to stop here to make a note, and you know this, but especially in that land, water was extremely scarce. Water was a treasured commodity that was sought for and fought after. So Isaac, being asked to leave the city, moves out into the countryside. It's not the best countryside, but he has to have water for his crops, his children, his family, his servants. There's only one problem. The Philistines had filled in all of those wells in that area that Abraham, Isaac's father, had dug. And needing water, Isaac goes to the well and finds that they're just plugged up with rock and dirt and debris. So what does he do? Does he leave and he'd say, well, I just maybe need to go to Egypt anyway? No. He got busy and he redug those wells. Well, the people still were harassing Isaac and they began to put pressure on him, trying to run him further away from their country. So they ran him away from the wells that he redug. So Isaac says, there's no more wells to redig, so I'll dig my own well. And he dug his own well, but here comes the enemy, begins to cause trouble, conflict, fight against the servants of Isaac. And Isaac just gives that well up and goes digs another. And he does this several times, and finally he dug a well, and the enemy didn't show up and run him out. Now, here's the important thing. When Isaac finally has a well dug and he's left alone and water's coming out of it, God appears to him and said, listen, Isaac, that covenant I made with your father Abraham, it's for you too. And you don't need to fear all these enemies and you don't need to fear running out of water because I, the Lord, am going to bless you. Wasn't that an encouragement to Isaac? Isaac, you didn't go to Egypt. You stayed in the land. You didn't become discouraged with the enemy. You just kept digging and digging and digging. Now I've given you a well that's uncontested. You've got plenty of water, and I'm fixing to bless your socks off. And you know what Isaac did? He did two things. Number one, he built an altar and began to give thanks and worship to God. And number two, get this. Now remember, he just dug a well there in the desert. By this time, he's down by Beersheba. He just dug a well. But when God said, I'm going to bless you, he said, let's put that to test. And he dug another well. He dug two wells there. And God gave water out of the second well too. God's already beginning to keep his promise. None of that would have happened if Isaac hadn't stayed in the land, refused to go to Egypt, And if he hadn't just kept digging in the wells, now he's got two wells and he's blessed. And from this point on, though we don't have a lot of phenomenal things to say about it, Isaac lived steadily, morally before God, and he called on God like he never had before. He's one man that prosperity did not ruin. He had the right attitude about his prosperity, and he sought God in the prosperity. So here's the truth tonight I want to take from the story I just told you. And these are very important to us as a church and as a people. First of all, listen to me very carefully. Something is always lost when the preceding generation of spiritual pioneers dies. I said something's always lost when the previous generation of spiritual pioneers dies. When Abraham died, his wells were filled in. We've seen this even as a people. We have great elders amongst us, but you all know what I'm talking about. We have lost some pioneers in our church and pioneers in Pentecost. And make no mistake, when they die, something is lost. The enemy makes sure he shows up and fills in the wells that they have dug. Right? He tries to take something from the people of God. When that generation passes on, you see, Abraham had dug those wells, and Isaac had drank from them. And Isaac's children had drank from them, the children and the grandchildren. And now that Abraham's dead, the enemy has filled those in. How many knows the enemy loves to take from the succeeding generations what has been brought to them by the previous generations? That's what the essence is of their filling in Abraham's wells. Secondly, the truth is, the answer during spiritual famine is not to go and leave the place of the pioneers, the place the pioneers brought us to. It's not to go to the world. It's to stay at that place the pioneers brought us to. See, that's the whole how the whole story begins. Abraham, following God, a spiritual pioneer, brings his family to this land. Now the famine hits. Isaac wants to get out of that land and go to Egypt. God says, no, you stay to the place that I brought your father to. You stay in the place. Don't go running off to Egypt. Could I say, that is so important. Spiritual famine does hit the land. Spiritual famine comes to the church. Spiritual famine comes to families in the church. But when that happens, the answer is not to flee to Egypt. It's to stay in the place where God has led our fathers to. It's not time to give up Pentecost. How many knows that? Amen. And so what did Isaac do? He stayed and he sowed. You say, well, things aren't like they used to. Don't give up on it. Sow something. Sow some prayer. Sow some faith. Sow some dedication. You say, well, famine's going on. Do like Isaac did. Sow something spiritual. The next spiritual truth. There is an enemy who does fill in wells. Have you ever seen it in a church service? God opened up a well in that service. I mean, the water was just bubbling out, and you were being blessed and refreshed. And before you got in the car, Satan showed up with the shovel and was trying to fill in that well. How many knows what I'm talking about? Satan loves to take the source of refreshment from us. Worship, Pentecostal worship, is a refreshing thing. Satan loves to fill up that well. Prayer meeting is a refreshing thing. Satan loves to stop the prayer meeting to fill up that well. Right? Living in all-out dedication is God's will, and it's God's way to express himself through us. And Satan loves to fill up that well. Here's another truth. This is so important, church. I want us to get a hold of this. The second generation still knows where the wells are. The second generation still knows where the wells are. Now, get this. Get the picture. Abraham dug the well. The enemy filled it in. If Isaac had not redug the wells of his father, Isaac knows where his father's wells are. He had visited those wells with Abraham. He had drawn water out of those wells with Abraham. But if Isaac does not redig the wells, Jacob doesn't know where Abraham's wells are. Right? And so the spiritual pioneers of our faith in our church, they've dug the wells. We, the second generation, we know where those wells are at, but if we don't redig them, our children won't even know where those wells are at. Right? You know, I've already just briefly mentioned some, but let me tell you what some of those wells are, I believe, that we, the second generation, know where they're at and we need to redig them. One of them is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is a well that needs to be redug. If the second generation doesn't redig that well that our first generation brought to us, then there's a generation that's not going to know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking other tongues, the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit in worship. Let me tell you another well that needs redug. It's a life of personal purity and holiness. All through Scripture, God admonishes us to live in dedication and commitment to Him, a people separate from those around, to be desirous, to be conformed to the image of Christ. And that was a well our fathers brought to us, seeking God for personal purity of mind and heart and life and living. Satan's attempted to fill in that well. And if the second generation doesn't redig that well, the third generation, I know this. You know, I read religious periodicals. I stay up with the theology and the changing trends in the churches. And in the Church of America today, that's hardly ever a mentioned truth. It's all through Scripture, but hardly ever is there an admonition that God has desired us to present ourselves a sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, living for God and all out pursuit of personal purity in our lives. Let me give you another well. Personal prayer and experiences. Worship is great. Praise is great. You know, when I was preparing this, I thought of when I was a kid. Before every service, there were older folks that would go out. Our Sunday school rooms were behind the platform. You would hear them back in Sunday school rooms calling out to God. I remember as just really young, Uncle Dale, who many of you know, I remember him back there in a Sunday school room just praying and seeking God. And it wasn't just at church. Mom would go back in the bedroom or Dad would go out in the workshop and the children would hear them calling out to God. That well of personal, passionate prayer, that's a well that needs redug by the second generation, or the third generation will know nothing of it. Let me give you one more. There's many others. Soul winning. Think of that first generation, you know, the tracks in the pocket, talking to people at the grocery store, in their neighborhood, that fervency. And I'm not saying nobody's doing any of these. I'm talking about overall and generally. That was a well they dug. That they felt it wasn't just something they did. They felt the urgency to reach the lost. That's a well that needs to be redug. We need that fervency to reach the lost. And there's many, many others. Let's go into the next truth. God wants us to keep our I'm not reading that correctly. God wants us to keep our Father's wells open, but He also wants us to dig some of our own. Now, what I want you to notice is Isaac didn't just redig his father's well. He dug some new ones on his own. You know, we're not just trying to hold on to the past when I talk about redigging wells. Because there comes a time we've redug those fathers' wells. We've established that what the pioneers have brought to us is what we want. But there comes a time we just need to dig some wells of our own. New experience, new encounter with God. Here's one more truth, maybe one or two more truths. When the enemy attacks, dig another well. Now, you can view this different ways, that Isaac was just passive and didn't want to get in a fight, and so he just kept giving up wells and giving up wells. You can view it that way if you want to, but there's another way to view it. Just because the enemy showed up and took that well from Isaac didn't mean he gave up on wells. He just went out and he dug another one. You may have been blessed Sunday night, just thrilled in your soul, and bam, on Monday, things begin to happen, and Satan just took the well right from you. Don't give up. Don't become discouraged. Be like Isaac. Dig another well. Go for the water again. Here's another truth. Call on God even after the blessings and relief have come. You know, a lot of folks can call on God when things are tough, but when the well starts producing water and the crop, like Isaac's did, is so prosperous, some folks, they just quit seeking God. But I love this about Isaac. Maybe I shouldn't dismiss him so quickly. God's given him an abundant crop like no one's ever seen. God's given him a well that's an artesian. But that's when he builds the altar. Read the story. That's when he really gets down to business and starts seeking God. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I'm telling you, wouldn't we have revival if we began to seek God, not just when things are going wrong, but seeking because things are going right. Seeking for the blessings. So what do we want to take home tonight? Let's take all those truths and put them together. What are we going to take home? And before I do, let me just say this. I should have said it earlier. But water in Scripture is always about refreshing and renewal. And it's a direct analogy of the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. He's about renewal and refreshing. So keep that in mind as we look at these truths to take home. And I'm going to go through these very quickly, but these are so important. First of all, God wants to bless us. I really believe that. And I'm not saying that in that word of faith way, you know, where God wants you to have the fanciest automobile and the most expensive house. But I do believe God wants to bless us. How many believes that? Okay. But his method of blessing his people have never changed. If you want his blessing, don't go to Egypt and seek something new. Dig out the wells where God has always refreshed his people and blessed his people. How many knows there's a lot of folks that are going to Egypt for something new in spiritual famine? It's happening. Take this home. Don't do that. God wants to bless you where you're at. Just redig the wells. Here's another truth to take home. There will be times, there's no other way to put it, there will be times when you're going to have to dig. See, I haven't mentioned it yet, but digging is hard work. I dug some holes for fence posts today, and there's a clay soil, rock in the soil, and, you know, you try the post hole diggers, and you go in about a half inch and you just scrape up against it. So you got to get the big metal pry bar and, you know, loosen stuff up. Digging's hard work. Yeah. And that shouldn't put us off. I think that's what people many times have rebelled about. You know, we have this mindset today that spiritual blessings and the things of God are just something that can happen if we get the music right and we get the performance right, and then they just start falling down upon us. But everything I see in Scripture, the real spiritual blessings and renewal and refreshment, they come after the hard work of digging. How many's ever heard the expression, just dig in? I'm not talking about digging in like in a foxhole, but just dig into it. Just get busy and do the work. God, help us to be willing to do the digging. Redig the wells that served our fathers. But also redig those wells, or dig those wells that God is moving us into in new direction. Two more truths to take home. We must redig them while we remember them. I've already really emphasized that, but I want us to take that home while we still know about these things. You know, there's coming a generation that won't even know about how before church, folks would gather in a prayer room and pray, and sometimes the Holy Spirit would fall in the prayer room. I remember the times our youth did that. And it comes time to start service, and someone has to go get them because they don't even know services started. I remember that happening times here, and we'd have visitors come in and sit on the pews, and they'd hear the young people praying back there, and they would be moved and wonder what was going on. But, you know, pretty soon we'll have young people sit in our pews that never saw or heard that. So those that remember that, it's time to redig those wells while we remember them. And last truth to take home, We must remember that altar building goes with well digging. The last well that Isaac dug, he did that in tandem to building an altar. Why? Because I don't think there's any way to do the well digging without an altar. The altar is the method of well digging, the praying and the seeking God. Well, how many feels like redigging some wells? Amen. Let me close with this. Go ahead and cut music. You may or may not be aware of this. I'm sure Brother Bill is. But since precious metals in the last few years have increased in value so much, there are mines all over the world and out west in America. Mines that they felt had become so unproductive, it wasn't worth the effort to mine the metal. And so they closed them up, welded the doors shut, got rid of the equipment, closed the gate on the road, and said, there's no use to working in this mine. But since the metals have become so much more valuable, how many knows there are reopening those mines just like that, one after the other? Because since they see the metal so valuable now, all of a sudden it's worth the effort. And my point is this. If we see the value in the spiritual things that God wants to give us and do amongst us, we will reopen the mine and begin the remining. We'll begin redigging the well. Could you stand? Things like, let me just give you two more, maybe three. Redig the well like tearing in the altars until the blessing comes. How many knows what I'm talking about? Not just a trip to the altar, but tearing in the altars until God poured out His Spirit. That's a well to redig. Amen. What about, let me tell you another one. Worship, not like a response of a audience to a performance, but how remembers when folks would get lost in worship? I mean, for all practical purposes, they were in another world, and they would just on and on and on, just worship God, worship God, worship God, worship God. God did a work in her. That's a well that needs to be redug. Amen. Come, let's pray.
remember.